Right there.
That's good. Last week we learned a lot about Avraham Avinu, and tonight I'd like to share a little about Tzara Imenu and develop with you some ideas. It says, Vayuchaye Sarah, it was the life of Sarah. Mea Shana, Vesim Shana, Vesheva Shanim, 127 years, a lot of drushes on that, I'm going to skip it. Kama, Shnei Chaye Sarah, years of life of Sarah. Now, I know that our art scroll loves pulling the wool over our eyes and filling in the words that the Torah did not. But bottom line is, that is not a sentence. How do you read that pasuk? Sarah lived 127 years, comma, years of life of Sarah. That's not a part of a sentence. Do you put a comma, a semicolon? What is years of life of Sarah? And those were the... Well, you just added a few words. Those were the years of life of Sarah. What is Shnei Chaye Sarah? They're like, well, that's how the Bible talks. I don't know. Let them have it. It's not how the Bible talks. Everything is... there's a question. What does this mean? How do you read that? Take a look. Take a look at Art Scroll. Take a look. Anyone's got an Art Scroll? Chapter 23. What does Art Scroll do for us? Verse 1. The years of Sarah's life. Thank you, Rabbeinu Art Scroll. You have done no good for us tonight. It is not the years of life of Sarah? Is that a sentence? That is where you get that big fat green line with Microsoft Word. Illegal. Try again. Like, no, I was trying so hard. Come on. No, it doesn't work. That doesn't make sense. It's not. So I was looking around. What is this sentence? How do you make heads and tails out of it? So I looked at Rashi. Shnei Chaye Sarah. Baruch Hashem, Rashi has a comment. Shnei Chaye Sarah. He's got a three-word commentary on this phrase. Kulan, Shavin, Latova. They're all good years. You just took a really difficult sentence and made it way more difficult. I don't know how you went from point A to point B. All of Sarah's life were just great and jolly. Okay, were you trying to read the pasuk? What exactly were you trying to do? And I was looking around and trying to understand what's now Rashi doing. Now I have two problems. What's the pasuk doing? What was Hashem writing? What's going on? And in the midst, I came across a Baal HaTurim. If you've never seen the Baal HaTurim, you should start. It's absolutely mind-blowing. He's got some of the deepest ideas. The story you should know. He's the son of the Rosh. The Rosh is the person in the back of the Gemara. He summarizes every sugya and shas. And his son, the Tur, said, you know, my father did a great thing, but the Gemara Bavli has one problem. It's Baal Me'akol. It's all mixed up. And so therefore, he decided to categorize all of Gemara. So he put it into categories, and that was the Tur Shulchan Aruch. So he was then, and his future father-in-law says to him, nice job. I like what you did. It's very clear you know a little about Halacha. I'm not sure you know anything about Tanakh. You can't have my daughter. So that night he spent writing the Baal HaTurim, handed it to his future father-in-law in the morning. Would this do? He's like, yeah, that's pretty good. That's decent. That's the Baal HaTurim, and the Baal HaTurim says, one little difference from Ran, everything became clear. Listen to what happened. The Baal HaTurim says, Shnei Chaye Sarah. The word Shnei means?
Two years.
Shnei can mean Shanim, years, or it can mean Shnei from the word Shnayim, two. Which one is it? The Baal HaTurim says, Two times, Sarah Imenu. She lived 127 years, but Shnei Chaye Sarah, only two of them, two times in her life did she love life. One time, the Baal HaTurim writes, was when she could naturally have children, and the second, when Hashem finally did a miracle and gave her a womb that can carry, conceive a child, she again had exuberance in life. In between stage, she was depressed, she was sad, she was not happy. She lived 120 years, comma, Shnei Chayesar, but only twice did she have a love of life. From that Balaturim, I understood what was going on with Rashi as well. The word Chaye also has two meanings. It can mean Chayim, life, heart beating, pumping life. It could also come from the word Chiyus. Chiyus means exuberance of life. What makes you tick? What gives you your life? So the Balaturim says, Shnei Chayei Sarah, two times she loved life. And Rashi says, no, it's comma, Shnei, from the word Shanim, years of exuberance. It's not years of life of Sarah. It's that she lived 127 heart-beating, pumping life. Comma, years that she loved life. Shnei Chayei Sarah. Rashi is beautiful. He reads it right into the pasuk. What makes you tick is the question. Chiyus. Sarah loved every single day. You know, we have a commercial in America called The World Runs on Duncan. Now, don't get me wrong, please. I love Dunkin' Donuts. My first stop when I land in America is usually I get the car rental, I go straight. Yeah, before family. I know what's important in life. I go to Dunkin'. The world truly runs on Dunkin'. And there's a line. Every Dunkin' Donut, maybe it's only the kosher ones. That's the ones I'm familiar with. But there's always a line. They move fast. The world loves Dunkin'. Now, there's just one little thing in terms of priorities. And that is, the world is no longer waking up in order to care about their family, their kids, their lives. And today, out of all years and generations where depression is competing with heart disease as the number one disease in the United States, it's a golden country. What in the world is so depressing? What gives you your exuberance? What makes you tick? What's it all about? So, I realized that there is an incredible thing. And that is, it is now cool to regress in life and it's fashionable to be a baby. I was, you know, when you're on the plane and there's a person sitting next to you that you don't really want to talk to, so you just quickly take out one of those magazines that really has nothing useful in there. So I was doing that once, one plane ride. And I'm like desperately looking for something. I'm thinking, you know, I could buy a gift in one of these magazines. And no one has the money to buy those things. I'm not really sure who supports them. And I'm looking and looking. And lo and behold, I found the gift that I've always been looking for. Footsie pajamas for adults. Like, my 3-year-olds used to have those. And it was featuring, like, big people in the footsie pajamas. They were so happy, the smiles. Like, grow up. I didn't understand. It was just not registering. And then my wife told me the greatest thing. She works in a seminary, which will remain nameless, of course. And none of you know which seminary she's in. So she told me that the latest fashion, you see, for years and years, everybody knows the concept of daydreaming. Everyone knows that. You know, like right now, a lot of you are doing exactly that. And then we have the doodle. And some people doodle really well. Some people doodle poorly. I never graduated doodle. And then they came out this year, maybe last year, I might be outdated, with the official doodle book. So now you have girls walking to class with like their briefcase of markers. They've got their markers they go to class with, and they set up shop, and they got their blue and their mauve and their, like, all their colors and their burgundy. Oh, Cindy, could you pass me the lavender? I need that for the professional adult coloring book. It is fashionable to be like foolish. It's remarkable. It's time to grow up, I think. I don't know, it's just my opinion. So I started to look around at all the wonderfully mature things that our society has to show for itself. And there was, this one really just tops it all. Crayola. Crayola, famous crayon factory. They have the famous box of 124 crayons. But a few years back, they did something really severe. They cut three colors. That is correct. And they made it the 121 crayon box. And they cut three colors: raw, umber, and maize. Audacity. Could you believe? Now, in the event that Crayola would have received like one phone call, one letter on the topic, it would never have made the headline news. However, they had to set up an entire office to deal with the traffic of thousands of letters and emails and phone calls, and thus the Rump Society was formed. The Raw Umber Maize Preservation Society. That was the Kol Nidre appeal in my show. I mean, come on! Where are you? A friend of mine, one of my Talmidim, he works for the clothing industry. And in the clothing industry, they sell a lot of things. One of the things is designer sheets, designer bedding, designer items, designer clothes. Now, just to understand what we're talking about, in other words, if you buy from Kohl's, that's not a special designer brand. I love Kohl's, that's where I get all my clothes. And then there's like, Walmart, Target, these are the greats, and they have the cheap, regular, normal stuff. And then you could go high-end, and you could get a designer name. And of course, you have to show it off somewhere. I've got Polo, I've got Calvin Klein, whatever the latest fad is. And he was in the doggy sheet business. You see, because he explained to me that a typical family that's got a dog, and he indulged personally in a designer bed sheet. I've got my Calvin Klein bed sheet. It's really beneath me and beneath Bow Wow over here to be in a regular Walmart sheet. How could that be? So he told me that it is, in the United States, just the doggy designer sheet business is a $1 billion business annually and growing. I'm waiting for the adult bubbles. I mean, like, come on! I'm waiting for it. That's what I've always wanted to do. Just put adult me on it, and I'm ready to go. And if it could just be the gun version, I'll just sit in my window with all the kids in their footsie pajamas blowing those bubbles at all the passersby. There's a remarkable story with Rabbi Elimelech Milojinsk. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I remember going to Toys R Us when I was a kid with my parents, and I saw those cars with the tracks, and they like go up the wall and then fly across the room, magically still land on the track. In Israel, they sell those also, but they just don't ever land on the track. I'm not really sure what the purpose is. It's like it's not even a one-time use. It doesn't really make sense. In America, though, I remember as a child going to Toys R Us and simply salivating in the aisles, like, oh, please, Mom, I'll do anything. I'll wash the dishes, I'll do whatever it takes, just please, just give me that train set. So that's, like, cute when you're 5. Could you imagine when you're 25? Son, I've decided that this is your wedding gift. Here's the train set you've always wanted. And I could really see that could happen. And I would love a train set. But I do hope that I matured a little bit. And this is the story with the Rebbe Elimelech. The story goes that he was hitching a ride once. And that was back in the day with horse and buggy. And a guy gave him a hitch. Gets in the back. And they're going. It was a rainy night. It started to get muddy. He had two beautiful white horses. And they start going. And they got stuck in the mud. The horses fell over. And they actually, I don't know, something went wrong. One horse died. The other one had a heart attack. So his friend died. His two horses died on the spot. So the man, the rider, the owner of these two horses, he's so distraught. He gets out, starts crying uncontrollably over his two horses. And he too has a heart attack. And he is no longer. Rabbi Elimelech is, I guess I'll walk from here. And he gets out. And on his way home in the rain and mud, he's thinking to himself, this guy did a good thing. He did a mitzvah. He picked me up. I guess he does that. But his whole life seems to have been about two horses. His horses died, therefore he died. He had to leave the world because his horses went. What kind of Olam Haba does a person like that get? Like when he goes to Olam Haba and he's like, Hashem, I did some mitzvahs. I picked people up. I tried to be a good person. So how does Hashem pay this person back? And lo and behold, Rabbi Elimelech that night had a dream. And he saw heaven and this person in heaven with two beautiful white horses. Son, here's the train set you've always wanted. That's what he was for. And he got it. And so, Rabbi Fran tells a story, a great story. He was in Brooklyn once to give over a Dvar Torah, a shir. Rabbi Fran, I highly recommend listening to his shiurim. He is the best storyteller. He gives the best Divrei Torah. And Rabbi Fran, I can guarantee, it will be entertaining and you'll learn something. So Rabbi Friend was telling over the story how he went. He was brought to Brooklyn to give a shir, a lecture. And after the lecture, he was supposed to be taken by someone to the train. He would take a train back to Baltimore where he lives. And he finishes the lecture, and a certain guy from the audience, from the congregation, was assigned the job to drive Rabbi Friend. And as they're getting into the car, he's like, well, what's the name again? Brand? No. Friend is the name, right? Just to deflate the ego immediately upon getting into the car. Great. Gets in. They start driving. And the man says, so Rabbi Friend, from Baltimore? Yeah, I'm from Baltimore. They have shuls in Baltimore? Yeah, we have shuls in Baltimore. And he's like, you know, here in Brooklyn, we have minion factories. Where you live, do you have a minion factory? There's no... We don't have a minion factory. We have the Shiva minion. We have the Shul minion. That's about it. We don't have a minion factory. And they start talking, and it becomes clear to Rabbi Fran two things, that this man knows very little Torah. And the other thing that becomes crystal clear to Rabbi Fran is that this man is going straight to Olam Haba. Because this man loves tefillah. For the past 13 years... he has not missed Kriyat Shema, according to the Magen Avraham. That's the earlier opinion. For the past 13 years, he's been waking up extra early, so that way he can say Tehillim before davening. And he decided to stop flying to Florida on vacation because he would miss a Mincha or a Mariv. This man lived for Tefillah. He loved Tefillah. The question of what makes you tick. What's your exuberance in life? The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. I love coffee. I say extra tehillim for the guy that made coffee. That keeps me awake. I don't get sleep, so coffee's the answer. But bottom line, the best part, it's time to maybe think, what do I live for? What makes me tick? Is it tefillah? Is it Torah? Is it values? Is it to be good? What do I care about in life? That's the first piece. Moving into piece number two. Sara Yimeno had a rough life. It says here, all of them, according to Rashi, were great. They were all great. How does that make sense? She was taken twice. She didn't have kids till she was so old. She had a rough life. Her husband takes her across the world, famine, difficulty, a maid that ends up becoming superior to her, a great life. Eleanor Roosevelt has become famous for a lot of things. One of them, a phenomenal statement. You cannot be hurt. Your feelings cannot be hurt without your permission. You have to agree to get angry. You have to agree. There's something called responsibility. Responsibility, as Viktor Frankl puts it, is made up of two words. Responsibility. You choose your response. Am I going to get enraged? Am I going to be okay and let it bounce off me? You choose. And the question is, we have so many experiences in life. We go to weddings, we go to lectures, we go to all sorts of things. Tiulim, go to the Cheder Ochel. And there are those of us right here in this room that are the optimists. Everything is great. And then there are those of us that are always looking at the negative. It's always negative. How's the food? Awful. It was good, but you know, it was a little salty. How's davening? It was good, but it was a little long. How's the shir? How's tonight's sikha? It was good, but you know, there are a lot of buts and everything. How was the wedding? Good, but you know, the band was a little loud. Life would be a lot more beautiful if we leave the buts out. And it's really that simple. There was a boy, we went on a teal, the Eilat teal is coming up, and I asked him, how was the teal? Food is phenomenal, the camp out is phenomenal, everything is great, but I've been on it most years. Unfortunately, this year I'm going to be out of the country when you guys go. I'm going to miss it dearly. And it turns out, so this boy comes back to yeshiva. How was it? I didn't have a great time. Well, how was Har Shlomo? Oh, that was awesome. Okay. How was the hotel? Oh, that was great food. How was the camp at? That was really great. That was a lot of fun. That was moving. Where was the problem? I'm having trouble putting the two together. It's like, what? I really got into a fight with someone on the way back about which movie we were going to see on the bus. It was really not right. I didn't like what. There was this one little thing, and now the entire teal is black. We do that. We're in control of that. And I want to tell you four stories along these lines of what it means. Shnei Chaye Sarah, years of exuberance. She loved life. She loved it. She loved life. She had exuberance. She yearned for it. She looked forward to waking up in the morning. She had something good to accomplish. And she looked at the positive every time. We went to visit a place called Ir Emunah. Ir Emunah used to be known as Atzmona, which was originally in Gush Katif. And in Israel, they relocated 10,000 Yidden. And unfortunately, there are some battles, there's a lot of inner strife, and they were a little trigger happy with disengaging Gush Katif. Whichever way you like to go politically, it was a good idea, bad idea, has nothing to do with the way they managed it. They botched it. They gave away all the money to the United States because they need it. And they promised people homes, but they didn't prepare any of them. And they just threw them out onto the street. And 2 years later, 3 years later, 5 years later, there were still people that had nothing at all, were still paying for the mortgages of their homes that were destroyed, and the government did not give them any new house, anything else. Their homes, their factories, their businesses wiped out. And there was no infrastructure. So we went to go visit this town, an entire town of about 1,000 people. And they had convinced a wealthy person to give them his roofed tent in a farm. Okay, it goes like this. It was about the size of two of these yeshivas. It was about the size, floor size. And there was a roof on top. There were no walls. It was totally open. but he had pillars, four pillars, and he had a roof on it. He was getting ready to build it into some kind of storage for his farm. And it was about twice, it was like this holy yeshiva plus the garden in the front and maybe the electric generator there. That was the size of it. And the roof was like this. So rain doesn't get in, but it's still open. It's open in every single way possible. It's protected from the sun, protected from the rain, but not from cold, from heat. They went ahead and they made themselves tents for the school of their children and for the their living conditions. In other words, like the way your kid, what your like when you were a kid or your siblings make tents, the way my kids make tents, they're like walls with blankets. That's what it was. It was hundreds of blankets with those clips, the clothing clips, and we went and visited them to give them a little chizik, a little bit of a boost, some encouragement. You guys are really amazing. And my father-in-law, we went with my in-laws, he's from the original Zionists. Took a lot of pride. We did so much. And he was personally hurt that our government could have done this to so many Jews. And we went to the head of Ir Emunah. They renamed themselves the City of Faith. And he starts saying how sorry he is on behalf of the Israeli government, as if he's the one in control. He personally felt guilty. I can't believe we have done this to you. And the head of Ir Emunah stopped my father-in-law and said the most amazing thing. And he said to my father-in-law, he said, Kan Ir Emunah. V'yesh habech choshech ba'olam. There's a lot of darkness in the world. U'ma'at or. And a little bit of light. V'kan bi'ir Emunah. Anachnu mityachasim ach v'rak lama'at or. Here in Ir Emunah, we only refer and relate to the little bit of light. We don't even talk or relate to the darkness. There's too much darkness. This is a guy that has every reason to be bitter, angry, upset. He was left in the mud for years. His home was torn asunder, given away. His business, gone. No replacement. We don't talk about the darkness. We talk about the light. That is godless. That is unbelievable. That's Eleanor Roosevelt. No one could hurt you without your permission. He loved life. Let me tell you this great story. Another story Rabbi Fran told. There was a guy who's a Mocher Sfarim in Brooklyn. He sells Sfarim. He's like the Magic Mike in Brooklyn. And he's always got this big smile. He's always happy. And a friend actually went to him. He knew him. And he said to him, why are you always happy? How do you have all that happiness? Like, where do you get that from? And the man told him the most remarkable story. He said, I'll tell you the truth. I was in London. I was visiting friends in London. And it was time for my flight. And so my host told me, you know, you could take one of two car services. There's the car service that always comes early, or you could take the car service that is notorious for coming late. Here's the two numbers. Which one do you want? So he's like, I like being on time. Not a big fan of being early, but earlier is better than late. I'll go with early. They accidentally switched the numbers on the paper. And he called the one that's always late. And lo and behold, they were late. They were so late, he missed his flight. He missed, and it's a little bit before your time, but it was the Pan Am flight that blew up over Lockerbie, Scotland. And he said to Rabbi Fran, I'm alive. Why am I happy? Why am I smiling? I'm alive! I was that close. And that's what I think we all need to focus on. I'm alive. We're here. It's the most incredible thing. Sari Imenu, she led the path. I'll tell you one more story, an amazing story, about Mikey Butler. For all those of you that know him, that knew him, you guys are getting a little bit older. The years are going by where the age gap is already too much. You may not have met him or heard of him. He was a It goes down in the records of NCSY. Mikey Butler from Pittsburgh. His father, his parents are tremendous tzaddikim. They're like Rav Machlis. They open their home, a big home in Pittsburgh. They open their home to all the incomers, everyone that comes to the hospitals in that region. They open their home to have guests. They could stay as long as they want. One guy even came, and he didn't get it that their name was Butler. He said, "What are you, Butler?" He thought he was a butler, so he dropped his bags. I'm not sure where we're going to go, which room I'm in, but if you could please carry my bags in to the house. It was Mr. Butler himself. Without batting an eyelash, he picked up the guy's bags and carried them in, never told him. And later he figured it out. Oh, oops. That's Mr. Butler. And Mr. Butler had a son, Mikey Butler. My wife heard this Dvar Torah live. I only heard of it. Never met personally Mikey Butler, but my wife did. And this is the story. He was giving a Dvar Torah. He was a great drummer. Boy after my own heart. And Mikey was giving a Dvar Torah at an NCS convention. And he decided to give a Dvar Torah about a Zeu Ashir, Asameach Bechelko. Who is rich? Someone was happy with what he asked. And he says to the entire audience, if you ever heard this idea by anyone, it came from him. Now you know the source. He said to everybody there, it means that if we would all put our cards on the table, all our cards on the table, we would take our own cards back. And then he started coughing a little bit uncontrollably. And he said, I'm sorry, excuse me. I have cystic fibrosis. Now, the way cystic fibrosis works is nobody lives past 30 years old. He knew he was going to die. He knew he'd never marry. If you put all your cards on the table, he would be ready to take his cards back. He's a Ashir. Rabosai, Shnei Chayei Sara, let's figure out what it is that makes us tick about life. And let's live them well, with joy, with happiness, about each other. Everyone's great. Life is great. And if we start looking at those positive things, then we too will be great.
How's it?